involves being able to see and hear and touch and test the object of our knowing. But when we say, "He is risen," we are speaking as those, who can only know and see Him who was raised from the dead by faith. Now, lest you think faith involves believing with the Queen of Alice Through the Looking Glass six impossible things before breakfast, let us agree that faith has nothing to do with believing even one impossible thing with God. Faith is a relationship of trust. Let me say that again. Faith is a relationship of trust. Not faith, I believe this and this and this. It is a relationship of trust. It is the gift of a meaning, Karl Barth says, in which we are free to hear the word God has spoken to us in Jesus Christ in such a way that in spite of all that contradicts it, we may once for all exclusively and entirely hold to God's promise and guidance. To see Jesus through the eyes of faith is to put all your trust in the love that does not end. The last 5 Sundays in the season of Lent, we have attempted to see and know Jesus through the eyes of various characters in the Gospel of John. Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the blind man, Mary and her sister Martha, Caiaphas, and Pilate. All of these saw Jesus as we see one another now. They saw him as an embodied human being they could hear and touch. Mary Magdalene had seen him in this way as well. We first meet her in John's Gospel standing near Jesus' cross with Jesus' mother, Mary, and Mary's sister. On Friday afternoon, the 3 Marys see Jesus, the one whom they have loved in life, as an embodied human being, a human being about to breathe his last. Many of us have seen the same. A friend of ours is dying. Catholic priest and theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar says at the beginning of his Easter sermon to a radio audience in Germany many decades ago, "We visit her. We watch her. We watch her becoming weaker and weaker. We hear her final words and exhortations. We see the no longer intelligent movements of her lips. We are privileged to be present, embarrassed and weary, at this sacrament in which she leaves the world. And then we go home. means an active commitment to Jesus. You could say that what the beloved disciples saw of the grave and the grave clothes was sufficient to send him back to the world as a follower of his living Lord. I know people like this. People who read the Bible or hear an Easter sermon and respond with the trust that takes my breath away. we stand on tiptoe singing, "Jesus Christ is risen today," the tears fall uninvited. We are weeping, we say, because death has left us to dwell in the absence. The absence of those we can no longer see or touch or hold. The absence of relationships ended this year in the melee of politics. The absence that is the aftermath of divorce. The absence of peace as death rains down from the skies. The absence of a future in the face of disease. The absence of God in any way that we can see or touch or taste or hold. Yet on that first Easter morning, Jesus addresses the one whose grief is because of him and unbearable without him, whose vulnerability is the prelude to faith. "Mary," he says, "only that, Mary. He who is dead and is alive calls the name of the one who grieves, who remains at the tomb weeping. Tony, Alice Lee, Barbara, Sandy, Graham, Canute, Mike, Howie, Suzanne, Rob, Hope, Becky, Anne, Dolores, Marianne, Jack, Jim, Ken, Jane, Joan, Craig, Priscilla, Sylvia, Elvis, Don." Jesus says, in John's Gospel, this is the moment when the resurrection is declared. When the last word death spoke on Friday is eternally countered by the first word love speaks on Sunday. This is the moment when the relationship that Mary thought had come to an end now becomes the relationship that will transform the rest of her life and the life of the whole world. This is the moment when Mary turns and sees Jesus through the eyes of faith, through the gift of meaning, in which she becomes free to hear her name spoken by her living Lord, and in spite of all that contradicts it, once for all, exclusively and entirely holds to his promise and guidance. His promise is that he has prepared a place for those whom you love in the love that knows no end, the love that never quits, the love that has conquered death. His promise, in spite of all that contradicts it, is also that death will never again have the power to hold you or any of God's creatures in its grip, because love and not the grave is your destination too. His promise is that nothing, as Brian said, nothing, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Far from being over, her relationship with Jesus has just begun. A relationship, Peter Marty says, that will be like talking with someone resurrection. Jesus says,